For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Andrew Porter here with Howard Eskin. We are approaching the 31st anniversary of the first ever sports talk show on WIP, hosted by King, yours truly, Howard Eskin. What's up, Howard?
Hey, you know what? I can't believe 31 years ago, August, the exact date, in case people listen to this after August 25th, August 25th, 1986, and I can't believe where WIP is today. I knew it was going to be good, but I can't believe where it is and where we started to turn it into a sports talk station. But it's kind of cool to see everything, and you know, I feel honored to be a part of it, and certainly feel honored that I was the one that did the first one. Never thought about it at the time, but when you look back, you certainly do think about it.
Where was the show?
The show at that time was at 19th and Walnut. It was in the what was the name of that building? The Wellington Building, right across from Rittenhouse Square. And it was an apartment building where WIP was located, along with WMMR. Now, we were both owned by the same company at that time, which was Metro Media Broadcasting. And I was doing some hits in the morning with MMR, with John DiBella. We were the same company. And they put back then, you had to put lines in. I mean, hard lines. They had a hard line in at my house. So I did like two hits a morning. And then the general manager of both those stations was a guy named Mike Craven, who I knew from my early days in radio when I was spinning records at WFIL Radio. So I had already done sports talk on an FM station in 1979, which was very successful, then went to TV in 82 and was only doing part-time sports talk until Mike asked me after I got the job. Channel 29 started in 10 o'clock news in February of 86. So he was the one, you know, God bless Tom Brookshire, but he came after 1986. I know people think that Tom started it. Tom was there and was a big part of it. But Mike Craven was the one that had the idea, and he says, would you do sports talk in the afternoon? And I said, sure. So an hour and a half spread to 4 hours. An hour and a half a day spread to 4 hours, Monday through Friday. And it was, when you look back on it, it all worked out. It worked out for everybody. So, but we were at night, we were right across from Rittenhouse Square, and moved a couple times after that. We were on Fifth Street, then we were in Bala, and now obviously we're downtown at Fourth and Market.
Right. So when you look back from, you know, 1986 to now, you've seen it all, but how has the media landscape changed? You know, I'm sure when you first started, it was more of a news first station, and now it's more of an opinionated industry. So how has it changed?
Well, it's changed because there's more of it, because it's become very successful. And the reason I think that they had talk, because most of the stations were AM stations, because at that time FM was all music. And AM stations were looking for some kind of diversity in programming other than just music, because people were going to FM for the music part of it. Now they go to FM for basically a lot more than just music, for sports talk, as we are now. But when I look back, and people have told me, I've gotten some really nice tweets. Of course, you got some twidiots out there that always want to rip you for something. But nice tweets, and from people in the business, when I go to the Super Bowl, who was it, Mad Dog, when he did the 30 for 30 with Francesa, and they started full-time in 88, and WIP started full-time in 88 right after them. But, and this is not me saying this, this is Chris Russo, Mad Dog, said, was nice enough to give me a shout out. He says, I was the original and the pioneer. So I never looked at it that way, but now it's become more and more and more and more successful. And you kind of look at the Super Bowl. When I was maybe one of, there was no more than 10 stations, and it wasn't called Radio Row when I did it, because I used to go to the Super Bowl and do my shows every year, and there was 10 people there. It was, and I remember in Tampa, and Walter Payton's walking by, and I said, "Hey, Walter, can you jump on now?" Everybody grabs for everybody at Radio Row. There's over, well over 100 stations. And, yeah, no problem. So we sat down. I have a picture somewhere. I wish I could find it, that was taken. But Walter Payton jumped in. But there's so many great stories. But it's gotten so big because sports talk radio in a lot of towns is something that obviously people enjoy. It's a diversion from the everyday. There's a lot of stations with music, but sports talk radio is something that people, it engages people more than anything else. But I'm glad to see, even with all the sales of WIP over the time, there were sales to Ed Snyder's company, and I had a discussion with a guy that was thinking about buying it, and he bought radio stations for Ed Snyder, and we had a three-hour meeting at what then was not the Continental, but where the Continental is now at Second and Market. And we talked about it. I said, "I think this station will be successful." He says, "Well, I'm going to talk to Ed." He eventually bought it. Then they sold to Infinity, which sold to CBS. So there's been, it's just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm, like everything I've done, I'm glad I started when I did. And I'm glad that things turned out the way they have. And I still enjoy doing it. It was, even though I've done, since 82, I've done television, but radio and sports talk radio is really where it's at.
As a younger guy in the industry, I've watched you, you know, I followed you for, you know, a pretty good part of your career, but I think what separates you from some of the other hosts and personalities and media people in the city, or really nationally, is that you have the ability to, you know, when you have a strong opinion, you stick to that strong opinion. You're not going to come off that opinion just because of an ex player had a bad game or ex coach had a bad season. I think too much in the media, we see hosts and personalities flip-flopping to suit the fan base. And I think that has attributed to some of your polarization around here, but it reflects your true honesty and your true opinions on sports. It's not, you're not going to just change your opinion on a weekly or daily basis.
You know,
do you think that's
interesting,
true?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's interesting that you say that, because I feel that way. If you have an opinion, and my opinion a lot of time is, as you know, and it was Craig Carton jumped on with me the other day. He was in Atlantic City the Friday night before I do my Saturday show, and they had their 10th anniversary, Boomer and Carton. So he was there, so he jumped on at the beginning of the show. And he brought it up, and I never thought about it this way. He says, the one thing that you do is you may be critical, but you're always there if, whether it's a player or a manager or a coach wants to talk to you. I never shy away from people. But I also, with that, talk to people. And listen, I have fun getting information. And that's what helps me formulate opinions. I have my own opinions. But, yeah, I don't flip-flop, because people will figure you out fairly quickly. Well, you said this, and if I'm wrong about an opinion, I was wrong about Chip Kelly. And I've admitted that I was wrong about Chip Kelly. There's, you know, every once in a while that happens, where you have an opinion, and I thought this guy was great. We all got trapped into that, and he's not a good NFL head coach. But you've got to be firm on your belief, because that was your belief. But if you're wrong, don't be afraid to say that. But just don't go back and forth, because people will either like you or dislike you for what you say. I've been surprised. When I left Afternoon Drive in 2011, and that was September 2nd, when I did the first show on WIP on the FM side. So I really feel proud that I've done the first and the first. But when I left Afternoons full time, I had kids. I had kids. Man, I used to listen to you with my dad, and I'm going to miss you. And I really felt bad, right, when I stopped doing it every day. And then you have people walk up to you. Bradley Cooper walks up to me before an Eagles game one time. He grew up in the area. And he comes up to me, and he introduces himself to me. I said, "How do you know me?" He said, "Come on, man. I've been listening to you since growing up." So those kind of things. Will Smith, the same thing. I've had people come up to me and they've introduced themselves to me, and that's really kind of cool, that you never know who's out there, but there is somebody out there, especially if your show's successful, and I'm lucky enough to have success in sports talk, but all those things, and you think about all those things, but it comes from really being yourself and being honest. So when you say, I stick to my opinion, I stick to it when I believe I'm right, and I know it will anger some people, and people get crazy, and people, hey, listen, they don't have to like me. All I ask for from them is respect, and that's what I like.
I think one of the best examples of that was Allen Iverson and your relationship with him, and you were critical of him throughout his career, but you know, you look back and you were right. I mean, he ended his career early. He didn't work hard enough. He never won a championship, and in my opinion, you had every right to criticize him, and you pushed him along through his career, and now you guys have a great relationship. Talk about your relationship with AI.
You know, it's amazing. He's won. Once players separate themselves from the game, and I really believe that Allen Iverson knew he knew I was right. He didn't want to admit it because he just wanted a party, which really did shorten his career, which is too bad. He could have probably played some at least three or maybe four more productive years.
Vince Carter's still playing.
Yeah, right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, correct. If he didn't just beat up his body with, you know, we'll just use the word partying, and we know what you do when you party. But now, every time he comes into town, he's always very, very gracious, and we talk. And if I send him a text, he gets back to me, which is hard to get athletes to return a text when you send it to him. And there's other players in the same boat, and coaches. Dick Vermeil, I remember, and this goes back to when I was on FM before WIP started, when he was the head coach. I had a firm opinion that he was working the players too hard, and when they stopped winning, that they were going to quit on him. And he had heard about that, and he mentioned my name. Herm Edwards told me, hey, man, what did you do to coach? What are you talking about? He said, he killed you in our meeting and told people not to listen to me, which Dick Vermeil learned later when he got to Kansas City that he couldn't work play when the rules didn't exist the way they do today. You couldn't work the players as hard as he went overboard. But now Dick and I are really good friends, total understanding when we look back. And I look back, and I'm not always right, and I'll tell a guy if I'm not always right. And I've had players come at me, and players want to hit me, and I get all that. I understand that. But, you know, it's based on me not just going off on somebody, based on what I see and what I hear from the players. But, yeah, and Allen Iverson probably is one of the best examples of a guy that understood after it was all over.
Do you have a favorite time period working at WIP that when you think back, you know, the 80s or the 90s or the early 2000s, what was your favorite or most exciting time period? Do you have a moment?
Well, it was always exciting to start it. That was exciting. But I guess, you know, there's different times and different time, and I don't think about it as in the way of time period. I think about the people that I've connected with. Mm-hmm. And one of the guests, I've had Ted Wood, and I'll never forget this, and I'm so happy that somebody took a picture there, and I have the photos. Ted William and Steve Carlton came to a remote, think about that, at the Coliseum in Voorhees, New Jersey. They came to my remote to do the show. And Ted Williams saw me a couple of days later. He was doing an autograph show. And he says, hey, I had a lot of people come up to me, and they really enjoyed it, and if there's anything you ever need. So I got to know Ted Williams, I mean, the greatest left-handed hitter of all time in Major League Baseball. And Steve Carlton and Ted Williams had never met each other before that day. That was in the early 90s. So you think about those things. I think about Walter Payton. I think about Joe Montana coming on with me at the Super Bowl. He just did all these, Jerry Rice. I mean, there's so many different people that I've been able to connect with and then stay in touch with them over long periods of time. I'll tell you a great example of a guy that, and I am still to this day, can't believe it. Terrell Owens was really kind of an interesting guy, a terrific player. And when the second year when he was holding out, and then he started crying on TV on CNBC about, you know, trying to feed his family. I conducted a canned food drive at WIP, and he really got pissed. He was really pissed about that, and he told me about that. And so we had, and now whenever I see him, he's always cool, always do things with me. But it's after the, you know, it's after he understood what was going on. But I'll say this: he was playing with the Dallas, and we had a really heated argument at the Super Bowl one year in Dallas. Well, it wasn't in Dallas; it was in Miami, but he was playing for Dallas. And I started talking about it when I came back from the Super Bowl. He called on a caller line to debate what we were talking about, and we were just telling each other for, I'll never forget this, 26 minutes back and forth what we didn't like about each other and just aired it out on the air. It was great. It was great radio. And when I had my 5,000th party for my 5,000th sports talk show, I think I've done more than anybody in the country because I started earlier, but it was in September of 2007. And I called the PR guy who I know from the Cowboys. I said, hey, I'm trying to get people on who have been a part of my shows in the past. Could you ask T.O. if he'll come on? Gets back to me the next day. He says, no problem.
Wow.
T.O. says, no problem. And he called on time.
Wow. That's awesome.
So when you start thinking about those things, about, you know, about Ted Williams and Walter Payton and T.O., you know, you had memories, and there's been so many more on Sports Talk Radio. I had Muhammad Ali on the air with me, and I've been with him probably four or five times. And he was really, when he was coherent and he wasn't sick and he was still boxing, it was just so, there's so many things in my career that I've done that I would never change. But it's the people that you have on, not the eras, because there's always something good in every era, whether it's the 80s from when I started, the 90s, and if you've had some good things. I wasn't a big Buddy Ryan fan, so I killed Buddy on the air, and he killed me on his radio show on another station. So we killed each other. And one year for charity, somebody said on the air, well, why don't you raise money for charity and wash Buddy Ryan's feet? So he was the coach of Arizona. So I got a hold of Buddy Ryan, and he said he would do it. So I went over to their hotel. It was in New Jersey. I washed his feet for $1,000 for charity. So, you know, these are the kind of things. When you do things on the air, I think people maybe take it more personally now. The players are different. But then after their career's over, I think they totally, absolutely understand.
I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the future and where things are going before we get out of here. And you're still a huge part of WIP, obviously, with your Eagles sideline reporting, and you're a guest pretty much on every show every single day. You host.
Yeah, I'm still working five days a week.
Yeah, it's crazy. You're working basically more than a full time host anyway. Spike, your son Brett, is running the station. He's the program director, and he's ironically or coincidentally, he's basically the orchestrator of this Sixers process forefront, something you've been a detractor of and a big contention point for you too. But what's the future like? And talk about the process a little bit and that whole thing.
Well, to me, it's the TTP is trust the profits, because that's what they care about. They care about making money. To raise Charles Barkley, and he's going to be, we've talked the other day, and we're going to do a podcast, and I'm going to have it on before the Jets game, let's say that week, so people can identify it. And he says in the NBA, the commissioner should say, you shouldn't be allowed to raise ticket prices if you don't have a winning record. And the Sixers not only did that, they did it when they tried to lose. I don't have a problem with the players. I like Brett Brown. I think he's a good coach. We'll find out because he hasn't had good players, but I think he's a good coach. I like him as a person and who he is. I have no problems with the players. You know, some players I don't think can play as well as other players, and I'll have opinions about that. But it's the ownership, and not all the owners are like that, but the managing partner I'm not a big fan of. And I'm not a big fan of Scott O'Neill because I think all they care about is how much money they make. These fans have been loyal. You Kool-Aid drinking dopes have been loyal, and all they do is pound you with more money. This premier waiting list or whatever the heck it is where you have to pay for it. You have to put deposits on tickets. You don't even know what the tickets are. And if you don't like them, your deposit is non-refundable. That's not fair. That's what I don't like. But as far as the team, they're certainly better. I still think they need more pieces to be a championship team. I don't think they can do it with the players they have. There's going to have to be some adjustments and changes. For instance, Ben Simmons, I don't think, is a point guard. I think Markel Fultz is a good player, obviously a good player. I think he's got to be the point guard. So I disagree with that, but Brett Brown wants to play him at point guard. It's okay. I don't call it a process. You know, I'm not a fan of Sam Hinkie because any idiot can try to lose. And don't tell me. Danny Ainge did it 1 year, and they turned it into a championship. I don't care what they had or they didn't have. They turned it into a championship. So, and they have a chance for a championship for the second time before the Sixers get there again from that era. And I think Danny Ainge is a brilliant general manager. I don't think Sam Hinkie was. I don't think he paid enough attention to watching the players. It was all about numbers and computers, and he failed on his first two picks the first year. They were both stiffs. And he failed on Jahlil Okafor, who's a stiff. So, but they are a better team. But for people, the problem I have is when people give Sam Hinkie all this credit, everything's a process now. There's certain teams, Matt Klentak tries not to use that term because it's a bad connotation. He feels it's a bad connotation when he talks about Phillies players because of what some people still think about the process. You don't want to lose, you want to win. So that's what I don't agree with. But I think they will be better. I think they will be good. I don't know how good, but they will be better. They're not a championship caliber team yet with the players they have. I think there's some more things that are going to have to happen, whether it's trades, whatever, and the ownership is going to have to go over the salary cap and pay a luxury tax, which I don't know that they'll be willing to do. But they are better. But I don't believe in a process. I believe that the team got better. But they won't have a chance for a championship since this started. It'll be 8 or 9 years until they have a chance to win a championship. Is that what you want to wait, 8 or 9 years when you start that? It shouldn't take that long, especially in the NBA, when you really only need one or two players.
There he is, Howard Eskin, 31 years at WIP. That's pretty much it, right, Howard?
Yeah, that's it. It's just, we'll celebrate another anniversary of the FM on September 2nd.
Okay.
That was fun. I had all kinds of good people on there. But it's just, you know what, it's and I use this term just to make guys like you happy. It was a process over the years.
No, honestly, from a guy who's in his 20s and someone who's been at WIP now for 5 years, it's incredibly impressive. And despite, you know, your opinions or any of that, none of that, to me, once I started working in the radio industry and in the media industry, opinions, who cares? Like, I respect you and I respect Angelo. I respect you guys for how long and successful you've been doing it and all your stories and the people you've met. And I mean, it's incredible. So, I mean, we can talk for hours, I'm sure. It's really,
yeah,
it really is special.
Between coaches and so many coaches and so many coaches that I've stayed in touch with and I've met, and just, and you never know what goes around comes around. I'll give you one quick story.
Yeah.
Whether you like or dislike Andy Reid, Ray Rhodes was the coach of the Eagles, and I was going to the Super Bowl when Green Bay, it was the year they won. They went two straight years, and the year they won, which was the first year they went. Ray Rhodes says, go say hello to Andy Reid, who was the quarterback coach of the Packers. So he's sitting by, they have tables. They sit at tables when they're not at the podiums. And he's sitting at the table reading the paper, and I walk up and I introduce myself. I didn't know who Andy Reid was.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, a year later, he's the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. It's just by going around and going to places and going to events and saying hello to people. Michael Strahan comes up to me at a Super Bowl they were in the early 2000s. He says, I know you. I says, you don't know me. I said, yeah, I know you. I said, I work in Philadelphia. I come to find out he used to watch me on TV because he had a home in the Poconos. So, it's crazy. So I became friendly with Michael Strahan. It's crazy how all these things happen over my career. But I wouldn't change a thing. Even in the early days when I was doing radio, forget this number, $1.60 an hour. That was well before WIP.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool. Congratulations, Howard.
All right. But thanks.
We'll talk.
Nitwit. Thank you.
We'll talk soon. See you later.
Thanks, Bud.
Howard Eskin. There he is. Howard Eskin, 31 years doing sports talk radio. Pretty impressive, regardless of how you feel about his sports opinions. Andrew Porter, another edition of the Pulse of Philly podcast. Until next time.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.